so glad that you could join us tonight for our home church teaching. Just got back from hanging out at the Astoria Home Church at the Knab House and planning to go back there as soon as I'm done recording. As you can probably tell, I'm back at home recording tonight, just trying something new. So I did a little test earlier. It seemed like the sound and video was okay, so hopefully it works out all right. Tonight, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to just give you some background. If you guys have been here on Sundays and you've been following our verse-by-verse study through the book of Acts, this last week we finished up Acts 10, and we saw that as the Lord told Cornelius, the Roman soldier who was searching for God, to go get Peter to come and share the gospel with them. And Peter does that to Cornelius and the other Gentiles that he had gathered, and we see them get saved, because basically we see the Holy Spirit come upon them as they're hearing the word. And what we see is what the Bible refers to as a visible manifestation of the Holy Spirit coming upon these people in that specific instance, because we see them in Acts 10, verse 46, speaking in tongues, or specifically praising God in other languages. Let me read that passage just so you guys know what I'm talking about in case you haven't been tracking with us on Sundays. But it's Acts 10, starting in verse 44. It says, "While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles, for they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling or praising God." So, with this instant, it seemed like a perfect opportunity as I was kind of praying on what to teach this Thursday, on an opportunity to expound on what God's Word has to tell us regarding the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you probably are aware that there's some different takes on the theology regarding this, or there's some different opinions, different practices in different churches that you've probably been exposed to regarding that subject. And maybe exposing you to those different, or being exposed to those differences, or hearing those different kind of takes on theology, has kind of left you in a place where you're confused about this, or you have questions. And as with anything else, the best place to answer our questions is always to go to God's Word and see what it has to say about these things. And so I was just personally blessed this last week as I was studying for this, reminding myself of how, honestly, I would say easy to understand, or how easy it is to understand God's Word when talking about the subject, if you just kind of take the time to go through it and let God break it down for you, like on what these things entail. So let me pray first, and we'll get into the text we're going to be in tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, again, thank you so much for this opportunity to open up your word, Lord. We know that this principle, or this doctrine of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, this thing we see in your word described in detail, is an important thing to get. It's an important thing to understand, because it's basically how you empower us to do the things you've called us to do, to bless others, and then to see you manifest yourself in our lives for the benefit of ourselves and for others, Lord. And so we don't want to miss out on any of that. We don't want to, in a sense, kind of, since we don't understand it completely, be afraid of it and not be open to what you want to do in and through us. Or we don't want to misunderstood conceptions about this somehow lead us in a bad direction, Lord. And so that's why we want to go to your word tonight, and we want to understand what you have to say, because that's all that really matters. So I pray we'd have soft hearts, you know, open ears, and we wouldn't kind of come in with an attitude of, well, this is what I believe, because the reality is, Lord, it doesn't really matter what I believe if it's not in line with what your word says. That's the only thing that matters. And so we always want to let your word dictate what it is that we believe. And so we pray you teach us tonight, Lord, your will for these things in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the main thing I want to talk to you about tonight is just when it comes to this saying of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, like it's terminology we see in the Word, we really see the gifts kind of separated into three different categories. And honestly, I think it's important to understand that because it helps you kind of, I think, understand as a whole the purpose of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the purpose of these gifts. And so we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 12 because Paul breaks this down for us, like these different categories of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 11. And as I kind of go through this, I'm just going to kind of, you know, expound on it, if you will. So starting in verse 1 in 1 Corinthians 12, it says, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us." So that's kind of the idea between the whole, regarding the Holy Spirit. One of the things the Holy Spirit does is give us these special abilities, these gifts, if you will. And it's cool because this church, the church in Corinth, had questions about these things. So it's okay if you have questions about these things. This is a letter written to you, or for your benefit as well. It's written to the church of Corinth and the believers there, but for my benefit as well, to answer your questions. He says, "I don't want you to misunderstand this." So this is important too. If you're not so sure about it, that's not the place God wants you to be. He wants you to understand it. So it says in verse 2, "You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." So it's interesting because he wouldn't be saying these things in verses 2 or 3 unless this church was kind of struggling with these things. So he's saying that their misunderstandings have kind of led them into a bad direction of kind of worshiping false idols or speaking things that were against God and against his word. And he's kind of pointing out right away that, hey, the Holy Spirit, since it's part of the Holy Trinity, it's one of the distinct three persons that make up one triune God that's equal with God and always in the same mind of God. You know, since it's part of the Holy Trinity, it's always going to be pointing to the Lord in one way or another. It's never going to be doing anything contrary to what God's word says or contradictory to God and his will. It's, you know, the Holy Spirit, a person, is always going to be in line with the Lord, all right? Which is important to understand too. Because if you see somebody saying like, oh, you know, moving in the power of the Spirit, whatever terminology they're using, but it's they're doing something that isn't in line with God's word, then that's a red flag right there, all right? So we're going to see Paul basically in the next couple verses break these special abilities given to us by the Spirit into three major categories, as kind of alluded to already, all right? The first being given in 1 Corinthians 12:4, where he says, "There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all." So this first thing he's talking about specifically are these spiritual gifts. And the idea is there are these giftings that are given to you by God's Spirit, or you're empowered to do, that aren't natural, that wouldn't be there naturally. They're supernatural, all right? Not necessarily like Superman, like super strength and stuff, but like godly characteristics, if you will. And Paul elaborates on this in Romans 12, like 3-8. He says, "Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other." Now, it's really interesting because wherever Paul, in a lot of places where he's talking about these gifts of the Spirit, he's really reiterating the fact that every single part of God's body, that's you, me, every single one of us, has a unique role. And they're all equally important. That basically the body will not function the way it's intended with our body. The rest of 1 Corinthians 12, after this section, talks about this very thing. We're all part of this body, and we all have unique and important roles. And Christ is ahead. And if we're not all doing these roles, then the body suffers. Like if one part isn't operating the way God intends, then the rest suffer. Like we all need to be functioning in those roles God calls us to for the body to be optimally performing, in God's will for it. All right. So that's important to understand, because it's not like, oh, this person's really gifted in this and this person's gifted in this, and they're more important than me. Like if you were to look at me and say, oh, he's the pastor, so he's more important, that's not what is being said here. And in multiple other places in scripture, it's like, no, the fact of the matter is this is just one role that is important in God's body, but the role you have is a Sunday school teacher or is somebody that's basically naturally gifted in kindness and shows that kindness to people in your community, or somebody that's naturally gifted in generosity. Oh, they're all equally important, okay? They're all equally important, and they're key to God's will happening. Okay, so that's important to understand. So moving on in that Romans 12, verse 6, it says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. And so that's a good definition of spiritual gifts that he's talking about. They're special gifts, like special anointings, special empowerments by the Holy Spirit for you to do certain things well. And he goes on to say, so if God has given you the ability to prophesy, he gives some examples of these things. The idea of prophesying is a gift of communicating revealed truth by God. Truth that either is like from his word, it's always going to be in line with his word. It's never going to contradict it, but it might be specifically from his word for somebody specifically that's applicable to somebody in their life. Like truth that you wouldn't have known had God not put it on your heart or led you to share it for yourself or for others. And he goes on to say, so if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. So there's some other roles there, serving. Like, you know, some people have this natural gift to serve. They don't have to be told to. They just serve. And then teaching, you know, some people have this gift to teach. It's just naturally in them, all right? If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. Some people are naturally really encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly, okay? So again, these are gifts or enablements by the Holy Spirit to do specific things well for the benefit of the others. Does it mean that we all shouldn't strive to have these characteristics in our life? No, because these are all characteristics that we know are godly, that he would have for us, that we should be seeking him to help us with. But he has specifically enables some of us to excel in these things for specific purposes for the benefit of others. Like, and you've probably seen this if you've been around believers enough in your life, probably the people that you're sitting with right now, you know, around you, you could point out one or two things that you see in them that they excel in. Things that not necessarily, like maybe you want to be generous and you try to be generous, but you know somebody that, man, they're super generous, you know, or maybe, you know you should be hospitable, you want to be hospitable, but you see this person is super hospitable, like, man, they're so welcoming, you know, it's just like you can tell that it's a gifting of the Lord. It's almost supernatural, right? They don't have to strive or make it happen. It's not difficult for them. There's no hesitancy, okay? More so than there might be with you. That's the kind of giftings that Paul's talking about here by the Holy Spirit. You know, one of the examples, you know, in my boys, they all have different giftings. But you can see in some of them, those are very, you know, obvious. You know, I have a couple boys that they're very gifted musically. And when I say that, it's not that they all could practice and play musical instruments, but there's a couple of them that all it took was basically somebody showing them a few things, and then they just picked up a guitar and they were able to strum and start playing it. And they're basically on the internet teaching themselves because they're just musically gifted. I on the other hand, was somebody that took lessons for like 3 months and then threw in the towel because I just had no rhythm and I couldn't do it, all right? I probably could have kept practicing and somewhat learned something, but it wasn't like a gifting of the Holy Spirit in my life, but I see that in theirs, all right? So that's the first thing he's talking about. The first way the Lord gifts us is in these specific things, certain things. He enables us to do these things well for the Lord, for the benefit of others in our lives, other believers or non-believers, because basically they can see that it's God doing it in us, all right? So the next category he talks about is in 1 Corinthians 12:5. He says, there are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. So the Holy Spirit also enables us here to do specific services or ministries, you know, per se, like specific things that God has called you to in your life to do for Him that you wouldn't be able to do if it wasn't for God enabling you to do it, which really is all-encompassing in your life because you can't do anything apart from the Holy Spirit. But there are those specific callings, all right? And Paul elaborates on this in Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. He says, "Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you've been called by God." So that's kind of the context of this passage, just fulfilling God's calling in our lives. Now, we've been called to God to have a relationship with Him, but there's also specific callings, you know, that things that He had preordained, good works, like it says in Ephesians 2, that He's prepared for you to walk in advance in your life. He goes on in verse 2 and he says, "Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body, one Spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all, and living through all. However, He has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. This is why the scriptures say, when He ascended to the heights, He led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to His people." Jumping to verse 11, he says, "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers." That's probably one of my favorite verses in the Bible because, quite frankly, I like to remind people, even if they don't think I'm a gift, the Bible says I am. So if you want to be a doer of the word, that's what you're going to consider me in my life. Isn't that right, Samuel? Mm-hmm. Yeah, my cameraman back here. He probably doesn't feel like his dad's a gift all the time, but the Bible says so. So all that to say, it goes on in verse 12, these specific gifts, or the idea is the Holy Spirit has gifted people to be these things for God, serve in these roles. And their responsibility, it says in verse 12, is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ, which won't be complete until we're with Him. So it's going to continue forever, all right? Until we're with Christ, till we go to be with Him. Verse 14, "Then we will no longer be immature like children at that time. We won't be tossed and blown around about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies, so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of His body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." Again, there's that significance that we each have specific roles. And you might say, well, I don't know if I fit into any of these roles, like the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Well, I would, like, you don't need a title to be those things, all right? Because very much so, you dads are a pastor in your home to your wife and kids, okay? You're all teachers, you know? Like, we all fit into these roles. You're all evangelists in telling people about Jesus, you know? But now there's, you know, definitely, you know, you can see these giftings in people too. Like, some people are called to those roles. I know people that I would call, like, that's an evangelist. Like, that's a lot harder for me to just kind of go up to people and share the gospel that I don't know than that person. Or, you know, obviously there's the role of pastor and stuff. But in some way or another, God has given us these gifts to do these things in different facets of our life. Like it says, each one's been given a special gift for these reasons that He has here, for the purpose of, number one, equipping God's people to do the things He has for them. So God has enabled you by the Holy Spirit to do the role He's called you to, so you can help equip others so they can do their role. And then to build up or edify or strengthen His people, which is specifically defined as, number one, producing unity amongst God's people, producing spiritual maturity, and then producing prevention of deception by false teaching, by training them up in truth, all right? And then the results, he says, of that, when we're operating in these roles by the power of the Holy Spirit, doing the things that God has called us to do, that he's enabled us to do, the results will be the church looking more and more like Jesus as we speak his truth and we show his love, and each person having been equipped and strengthened through him working through us will enable them to do the specific work God has for them, which is going to lead to a healthy church full of God's love that's constantly growing, all right? Good things, all things we want, all right? Again, we each have an important role. We each have a gifting that it's not on us, too. I think that's another thing that we should be getting from this. It's like God doesn't just call you, but he enables you. So that's kind of the caveat, or that removes the excuse when God's telling you to do something. I can't do it. You can't do it. You never could do it. But what's impossible with man is possible with God. And so it's a matter of if you trust him enough to actually do what he says, to give you the ability to do it, which he's more than willing to do, all right? So moving on to the last category that are special ability given by the Holy Spirit, and that's in the next verse in 1 Corinthians 12:6, where Paul says, God works in different ways. Some of your translations probably use the terminology through different activities or manifestations. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who works, who does the work in all of us. And then he goes on to discuss what the purpose of those works or those manifestations or those activities or those ways are. He says, a spiritual gift, or again, some of your translations say a manifestation of the Spirit, is given to each of us so we can help each other. So the idea is that God works through us or manifests himself or makes himself known in our lives for the purpose of helping each other. And what we see there in Acts 10 with the Holy Spirit coming upon the Gentiles and then them speaking in tongues is a good example of a manifestation of the Spirit. He actually goes on to talk about some of the different manifestations of the Spirit in the next verses. He says in verse 8, to one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice, basically advice that is from the Lord, something you wouldn't have been able to come up with on your own. Maybe you've experienced that before where you're talking with somebody or you are sharing with somebody and you just feel prompted like this is a word from the Lord, you know, like for this situation, like this verse applies or this principle we see in Scripture applies. This is what you should do. I remember somebody that was struggling with getting pregnant at one point in their life. And the word the Lord gave to me during this time of prayer for them was, it's not a no, it's just not yet. And that proved to be true years later. But I felt very strongly the Lord pressing that upon my heart, which would fall under the category of the next thing he says, to another, the same Spirit gives a message or special knowledge. Basically, again, knowledge that you couldn't have apart from the Lord, all right? Again, none of this wisdom that you give, this knowledge that the Lord gives you to give to someone else, or maybe pertaining to your own life, it's never going to contradict God's word. That's important, all right? It goes on in verse 9, the same Spirit gives great faith to another. Now, you know, we're all called to have faith, right? But this is like supernatural faith. And I've seen this play out in my marriage where there's something hard we're going through or something challenging. And it seems like always the Lord is gracious enough to give one of us supernatural faith. Like where the other one of us might be feeling weak or you know, worried or scared. And the other one's like, no, this is going to be good. God's going to be good. He's going to come through. And it kind of builds the other one up, all right? So there's supernatural faith he gives. And to someone else, the Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, another the ability to prophesy. Again, that's speaking forth God's word that he gives you. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit, like good discernment, like that's wisdom from the Lord or that's not. That's the enemy or your flesh. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, what we see there in Acts 10, non-native tongues, while another is given the ability to interpret those languages or what's being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Now, verse 11 makes it clear that these gifts, they're not something that can be learned or taught or in a sense, kind of conjured up or manufactured on your own, that they're, but they're given by the Lord's discretion in His timing, according to His will, as He wills, which means, you know, like, they're not all available to all of us. They're not available at any time we want them, all right? This is something that the Holy Spirit does, as God wants to do it, you know? And Paul makes it clear going on, you know, again, in the rest of 1 Corinthians 12, that, you know, whatever gift you're given at whatever time you're given it, they're all important. They're all significant. They all have a purpose in according to God's plan, all right? And I would say, based off of how Paul separates the manifestations of the Spirit, this last point we're talking about, or this last category, from the giftings given to us by God that he elaborates on in Romans 12, or the services we're enabled to do for God that he elaborates on in Ephesians 4, that these aren't to be seen in the same way as like something God has given a person that's kind of there with them for their most of their life. Like, for instance, if you're given this gift of generosity, it's something that's there. You probably know people that are just super generous. Or if you have a calling that God has enabled you to do, to be a pastor or a teacher, and it's kind of just always there. These are more or less, like, you don't see somebody that's called to be, I know some people say this, but I don't agree with this theology, that you're called to be a healer or you're called to be a miracle worker. These are gifts given by God at his discretion in specific instances for the purpose of helping people out and making himself known to both you or others, or basically glorifying himself in our lives. And that is consistent with the pattern we see throughout the book of Acts, when we see examples of the Holy Spirit moving and manifesting himself through God's people, basically to help others and to make it clear that it was God that was doing it through his servants. And that's what we see there in that example in Acts 10 that we went through last week, where basically the Holy Spirit came upon these people, the Gentiles that had just basically been saved, and they started speaking in tongues, because it proved to the Jewish people, or it helped the Jewish people understand that, hey, God really has saved these people just like he saved us. He's not withholding any of the gifts that he has given us. He's given them the same gifts. And it was something that only God could have done. So it proved that it was God doing this work, all right? So it glorified God, and it basically helped them understand a truth that they needed to understand in their lives, that God wanted to save all people, all right? Now, that's all I want to cover tonight, is I believe that's a great foundation, or it gives us a great foundation to help us understand kind of these spiritual gifts, like the point of them, the different categories they fall into. And next week, what I want to do is spend the whole time specifically focusing on the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, because quite honestly, I think that's where there's the most confusion, I think sometimes we just haven't simply taken the time to look at what God's Word has to say about it, this subject. We can kind of get in this frame of mind of going off of what we've been exposed to, or what we can comprehend in our own understanding, which in 1 Corinthians 14, you know, Paul says that you're not going to understand this. Like, it's a mystery. And both those things can kind of limit us. And we don't ever want to make the mistake of saying, and I've caught myself saying this before, there was a time where I was saying, well, this is what I believe about that. You know, again, if what you believe doesn't line up with what God's Word says, then God's Word trumps you every time, okay? He trumps me. So it only matters what God says about these things. So we'll spend more time kind of digging into that. We're going to go through 1 Corinthians 14 and kind of break down what Paul says, as he kind of breaks down in more detail the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. But tonight, here's what I want you guys to do. All right, now, there are definitely giftings, there's callings that you are aware of in your life. Sometimes you see these things that you just, you excel in them. And it's not in a prideful way. You just understand, like, for instance, like, I've always had jobs that are what I call crisis driven. Like, basically, you've got a ton of things going on, and whatever is the hottest or the most urgent crisis, that's what you address. And in order to operate in an atmosphere like that, you have to be someone that can stay pretty mellow, not get flustered, really just be able to multitask and kind of just, you know, like, you know, you have a desk full of things that need to be done, but you're always just kind of grabbing the thing that needs to be done the soonest and working on that and be ready to drop that and pick something else up. and be able to do it calmly. Otherwise, you just stress yourself out and you have a nervous breakdown and go crazy, all right? Not everyone's wired for that. But those are giftings that the Lord has wired me for. And I've noticed that in my life. Again, it's nothing that I've kind of conjured up myself or learned. It's just something that's there. Like the Lord's gifted me to handle that kind of stuff. All right? So you probably have those in your life. You know, those things that you see. But what I've also noticed is there's things that I don't see for myself, or I didn't see for myself, that others did see in me long before I ever accepted it or I saw it. You know, basically sometimes I didn't want to accept it because there were things that quite honestly scared the heck out of me, and I didn't want to admit it because then I know I'd have to do it. But my son says to be quiet because I'm getting excited. Sorry. But having said that, you know, like what I want you guys to do is I want you guys to talk amongst yourselves. And I'm sure that probably each of you guys, especially if you're around people that you hang out with often, hopefully you do, and you know, you've recognized giftings and callings maybe in other people's lives that you're sitting next to, that I would like you to kind of just spend some time with each other and say, hey, I appreciate this about you. Like, I see this. Like, this is something that I'd like to be, but I know that I'm not naturally like it, and I see you really gifted in this. And just kind of encourage and exhort each other in those giftings that you see the Holy Spirit's kind of enabled each other in. And who knows, this might be life-changing, because it was like life-changing for me. I from the moment I was, from shortly after I was saved, I had people encouraging me into different types of teaching roles, when honestly, I had no desire to do that whatsoever. I really just wanted to be a Martha, the person in the background serving. That's what I wanted to be and what I was comfortable being. I didn't want to be up in front. I didn't like public speaking. But people saw something that I either didn't see or I didn't want to admit. And God was relentless about those people, bringing those people into my life and encouraging me and exhorting me in these things and giving me opportunities to operate in them until I finally had to just tap, which really wasn't until I took over as lead pastor, because that was kind of the ultimate tapping. Like, all right, Lord, I'm going to give you my life to just do this thing, teach your word, when really I just didn't see this for myself at all. But all that to say is, you know, the blessings that have come with that in my relationship with God are things I could never have had any other way other than stepping out in faith and seeing the work he's done. So that's where you want to be. You want to be operating in those callings and giftings. But all that to say, it was people being just faithful to exhort me in those things that kind of kept me, God used them to keep moving in the direction he wanted me to go. So your exhortation to somebody tonight could be that thing they need to keep going in that direction God wants them to go. So spend some time amongst yourselves, do that, and then pray for each other in those things. Maybe you share something with somebody and they're like, yeah, that scares me to death. I don't see myself as qualified for that. I don't want to do that. Well, pray for them, you know, like that's powerful. Like, pray for each other and pray for the Lord just to give them the faith and the Holy Spirit to enable them to do those things that you see the Lord already kind of working in and through them. So that's how we're going to spend the rest of the time tonight. God bless you guys.